You're walking along in Target when a group of four women walk by. They're sipping on coffee, pushing their carts, and laughing at something together, and you feel a little sting. You think to yourself, man, it would be so nice to have a friend group of my own. Why does it seem like everyone else has formed a solid group bond, but I'm behind? And you're wondering whether or not you'll ever experience that group dynamic the way you did when you were younger. Well, on today's episode of the Friend Forward podcast, we're going to get into it. Why do we yearn for friend groups, especially in our 30s? And what does the research have to say about it? If this question for you has been top of mind lately, then stay tuned. Welcome to the Friend Forward podcast, powered by BetterFemaleFriendships.com. I'm Danielle Byer-Jackson, a friendship coach, educator, and author of the upcoming book, Fighting for Our Friendships. And it's my job to share the science of women's conflict and connection. So when it comes to the joys, complexities, and misconceptions surrounding these kinds of relationships, I am here to help you through it. When I first began friendship coaching, maybe about 5 years ago, I was immediately surprised by how many women who were confessing to me their secret desire for a friend group. So they realized they had all these isolated friendships, these one-off silos, but they really had a hunger to be a part of a group. Recently, I've been reflecting on this because there is a video that's going viral on TikTok where a young woman is saying that friend groups aren't worth it. They're problematic. And I want to kind of lean into that today. So before we get started, let me share with you my theory for why we have a hunger for friend groups. Flow with me here. Okay. There are three types of loneliness. If you've been following along with the Friend Forward podcast, we've outlined this before. So I'm just going to kind of glaze over it very quickly. But the first is intimate loneliness, where you lack a feeling of being intimately known. Many of us have this satisfied by maybe a romantic partner or a best friend. Then there is relational loneliness, a lack of friendships. And then finally, collective loneliness. And that is what I believe is at play here and at the heart of our desire for friend groups. Collective loneliness is when you long to be a part of something bigger than yourself. So this might be satisfied when you're in maybe a large women's organization, or if you're a part of a certain faith that you practice, right? You are reminded you're a part of something bigger than yourself. If you're invested in a certain cause and you guys, you know, meet up and do certain mission work, things like that. I believe that so many of us are outside of these kinds of groups and communities. And so I believe our desire for a friend group is coming from or emerging from a place of hunger to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. I could be wrong, but it's just a thought. I mean, I've just been thinking. Okay, I've been thinking. That's why I think this is something that people are being very vocal about, that they're looking for, especially in their 30s and up. Now, let's unpack this a little bit, the whole friend group thing. Okay. I want to open with this. There was a research study that was conducted in 2021 with more than 4,000 people living in both the United States and the Netherlands. And they were trying to see, how do we congregate? How do we gather, essentially? Because socializing is such a big part of just human life, right? And so they found that 52% of us congregate as dyad or pairs, 18% of us as trios when we socialize, and 9% of us as quartets? Is that like the name of a group of four people? And then so on and so forth. So if you're trying to figure out, oh, I feel like an outsider because I wish I had a friend group like everybody else, that's actually not the case. It might be skewed with what you are watching maybe on social, or what you are kind of idealizing from the media or your favorite shows, things like that, right? But even like, okay, Insecure, the show Insecure, which we reference a lot here. Like, yes, the girls had a friend group. You had, you know, Tiffany and Molly and Issa and, oh, shoot, who am I forgetting? Tiffany, Molly, Issa. Oh, and Kelly. Okay. Anyway, so they had their friend group, right, when they went to Coachella and they did all these fun things, but you did not see them hanging out in every scene. And also, you know, Kelly and Tiffany were kind of besties, and Molly and Issa were kind of besties. We tend to splinter off. I'm talking about women here specifically. We are more dyadic. When I say dyad, D-Y-A-D, meaning we form in pairs, we are more dyadic than men tend to be in their friendships. And that accounts for why our friendships are often deeper and closer, because it's literally me and you, which is a little more intense, right? And there's equal sharing and things like that. So I just want to kind of outline that for the person who feels like they're behind or they're some kind of outlier because they don't have a friend group like everybody else, right? And truth be told, some of these Instagram pics of people hanging out and being like, well, we all went to dinner. Yeah, they got together for dinner, but they're not a friend group. They just got a bunch of bodies together for dinner sometimes. So just, you know, so just stop feeling behind or that you are an outlier. I don't think that's the case. And the research proves what I'm saying. Now, a couple advantages of dyads. One, it's logistically easier to coordinate, right? You've only got to work with two people's schedules. Hey, girl, are you free for dinner tomorrow night? Yeah, I am. Okay, great. Let's do it. I mean, you compare that to trying to wrangle 4 to 5 women to get together and you're trying to balance their respective availability and they have different needs and obligations and demands. And can everybody figure this out? It becomes a little trickier. You also have that weird balance to navigate between navigating levels of closeness, which I sometimes hear from friend groups as an ongoing struggle, right? Maybe there's 3 of you, 4 of you, 5 of you, and 2 of you are a little bit closer than the others. And how do you measure and monitor that? How do you keep it even? There's some of that at play sometimes because you might bond with one person. So y'all kind of engage in a little more self-disclosure than the others. So in terms of reciprocity and logistically coordinating things, it might feel a little bit smoother, right? A little less challenging. Another thing to keep in mind, especially for my ladies who are 30s and up, the research shows that we have less leisure time than other groups or other generations. I believe they found that it's about 4 hours per week. We've talked about this before, but it's during this time where we are really laser focused and deeply, you know, involved in work because we're trying to advance in our careers. We might have young people we're taking care of. Our parents might be aging at this point, so we're taking care of aging parents. There's a lot happening at this point because we're kind of in our prime, right? And because of that, sociologists say that there is a friendship dip that happens at that time. And it becomes more about maintenance of friendships as opposed to creation of friendships during this period of our life cycle. So obviously not to say you can't make new friends. You should be making new friends. Some of the best friends that I have right now in my life, I made in my 30s. I thank God for them. I don't think my 20-year-old self was prepared to receive them and engage them healthily in my 20s. So thank God for the friends I've met in my 30s. Oh my God. Okay. I digress, but I get really passionate about the whole like making friends in your 30s thing, which let me pause for a moment before we get back into the flow. A couple of years ago, I had a course, How to Make Friends as an Adult. We pulled it offline because I love modifying and updating things as I continue to learn to make it better and better and better. We're about to make it live again. You can sign up for the waitlist in the show notes. Here's what we're doing differently. I am very passionate about friendship in our 30s because of all I've learned about what happens to a woman along the life cycle and the needs and issues that tend to present themselves at this point in time specifically. We are about to relaunch that course. And I know people are like, oh, another course. If it's for you, it's for you. If you are in a period where you're trying to understand women's friendships in your 30s, specifically in positioning yourself to make new like-minded friends as a woman in her 30s, this course is specific to you. If you are in your 20s and you're like, oh, maybe it's not for me, this tends to start to happen at the age of 26, according to the research, that your friend network grows until about the age of 26, at which point it declines. So if you're kind of experiencing that, you can jump in. The course can apply to you. If you're in your 40s and experiencing some transition, I think this 30s thing can work for you, right? This course still applies. But at the heart of it, it's really going to be for women in their 30s who want specific information for them on how to develop new, fresh friendships. Please join the waitlist. It's going to be good. I have not seen anything like it. Okay. I'm not trying to gas us up, but I have not seen anything speaking to the hearts of these women and their unique needs. Okay. I'm done selling you, but I just thought it was worth mentioning. Okay. So when you put all this together, women have a tendency to be more dyadic. We have less leisure time than other generations. You know, it's harder to wrangle multiple people. It makes it challenging sometimes to maintain a friend group. And when we say that there's a friendship dip in our 30s and 40s, the good news is a dip means something goes down, but it comes back up by definition. So as the kids get older, as you get more settled in your career and you don't have to invest as many hours, you know, as things change around your life, you do tend to get more free time. And then it's easier to coordinate with people. Or that's why you see seniors who are having like senior night here or there and traveling on cruises and stuff. Then things shift again. But right now in this season, it might be more challenging to maintain. Now, I recently responded to a viral video about how friend groups are overrated, and the creator was making a point, and I'm going to make sure we link it in the show notes. I'm going to give that note to my producer here, but she was making the case that friend groups can limit your ability to foster other friendships, And she also said that she, and I thought this was interesting, she says it also makes you a bad friend because you have this default group to create like social outings with, and you just keep going to this group. They determine what you do, where you go, who you can hang out with. And she says, so you don't have to practice or exercise the muscle of reaching out and initiating with other friends or remembering what they've got going on, right? Because you have this default friend group that just kind of keeps going. I thought that was so interesting. That was so interesting. I want to make this case to that. I believe that to be true. I see how that could be a problem, but I've also mostly seen it the other way around. Because we tend to form these one-on-one bonds and splinter off from the group, I've seen women become so consumed with one singular bestie that they fail to nurture other relationships. This is the only person they're sharing with. They have rituals, friendship rituals throughout the week for just the two of them. This is their go-to person on the weekends. They're sharing memes. And if that friendship dissolves, they realize, oh my gosh, I haven't been really tuning in with other relationships, right? So I'll say this. The question is not, okay, Danielle, well, which one's better? Which one's healthier? Which one adds more value? Having these siloed friendships or friend groups? The answer is both. You need to be intimately known, which tends to happen in a one-on-one capacity because groups afford you a certain level of anonymity. You kind of blend in. People tend to kind of concede to the person with the most dominant personality. There's this ecosystem that develops, right? Everybody kind of has a role to play for the group to even function. So you need to be intimately known, but you also need to be a part of communities, of groups where you play a role and you have gifts that you pour into and you learn from a variety of voices. I've said this maybe on 50% of the episodes. I continue to say that, you know, the research says that people who have relational diversity are happier. I mean, you've got your mom friends, your single friends, your happy hour friends, okay? So you need that texture to add richness to your life. Those people have a higher well-being, relational diversity. So you need both. You should be plugged into communities. You should be plugged into intimate friendships, both. So as your new official friendship coach, here is your homework. Listen closely. Instead of you asking yourself, do I want a friendship group or do I want siloed friendships? Do I want diet? I want you to ask yourself these questions instead. What are my friendship goals? What do I want to experience? Because that might show you kind of the direction you need to take right now at this period in your life. Like if it's important to you to meet frequently in person and have real-time shared experiences, you might prioritize pouring into your siloed friendships because it's easier to coordinate and you can more readily make things happen. It impacts the frequency of your hangouts, right? If you say, I want to be a little more known and I want to lean in, one of the things you might need to do is lean into those one-on-one friendships where people feel more comfortable sharing and it's open and it feels a little more explicitly reciprocal, right? I share, then you share, then I share. Right? So that might be some direction. If you are trying to figure out, okay, what are my friendship goals? You have to ask yourself, which one will help me achieve that goal right now? I think you might come to the realization it's a matter of both. But if you need to know, well, right now, most urgently, which one do I want to be strategic about forming and developing? Hopefully these questions help you to arrive at a clear answer. Okay. Now I'm going to throw this here just as a random note. If you are currently in a friendship trio and you're trying to strengthen that and you're like, how can I make this work and make this successful? Again, in the show notes, go ahead and take a look. We have a video on YouTube. It's from a while ago, but it still rings true about how to maintain a successful friendship trio for those of you who are out here with groups of three. Hopefully this content is even more specific to you. Okay. So friend groups, silos, we really need them all, because they all add something special and unique to our overall friendship landscape. Now, if this is especially resonating with you and you want to talk about it, you know I love a good voice note. Come and hit me up on Instagram at friendforward, or you can visit us 24/7 at betterfemalefriendships.com. And if you are looking to strengthen your friendships with other women, but aren't really sure where to start, I really, really hope that you pre-order your copy of Fighting for Our Friendships, my new book that drops on May 7th. But pre-ordering gets you access to bonuses that you cannot get anywhere else and that will not be available the day that book comes out. So I don't want you to miss out. Okay. Until then, you know that I'll be right here rooting for you always on your ongoing journey for better female friendships. Until next time.